Hello, I'm Head of School Brent Bell, and welcome to the Darlington Podcast. Today, I'll be talking with English Department Chair Melissa Smiley in continuation of our series highlighting our six department heads. Thank you all for joining us.
Welcome to the Darlington Podcast, a production of Darlington School in Rome, Georgia. Join us as we take a look inside and outside our classrooms and connect with students, teachers, alumni, and more.
Hello, Melissa. How are you?
Doing pretty well, thanks.
Good. Thanks for being with us today. These have been a fun series, talking with the department chairs, and excited to spend some time with you today. So kick us off. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been at Darlington, maybe a little bit about your background, and how you ended up here.
Well, I have been teaching for about 20 years. I've been at Darlington for 7, primarily teaching secondary language arts, mostly high school, but I've spent a little bit of time teaching middle school as well in both public schools and in independent schools. I did come to Darlington from an independent school, and it was kind of interesting. My mom grew up in Rome, and so we had always known about Darlington, but not been here a lot, and we just had some friends that were here that said, hey, I think there's an English department opening, you should check it out. And my mom just thought we would love the residential side of it as well as academic side for our children. It's interesting, we used to live at a summer camp year-round. So when I came to Darlington to interview, they said, what do you think about living on campus? And I said, well, I lived at a summer camp. And everybody said, well, I think you'll be fine. And so we have lived on campus all 7 years that we're here and have really kind of embraced that residential life as well as the academic side.
Right. Why English as your sort of area of expertise and teaching passion?
Well, historically, I come from a long line of English teachers. My mom was an English teacher. My grandmother was an English teacher. My mom's sister was an English teacher. So that was kind of the trade in our family. But 3 of the 4 years that I was in college, I was actually a communications major in sports information. And spent a lot of time in the communications department, but a lot with journalism. And most all of my electives were writing electives and English electives. And so in my junior year, I was talking to my advisor because I had done a small internship and realized that a lot of people that were involved in sports information were pretty much married to their jobs. They traveled a lot, didn't really have spouses and children. And I knew that that's what I wanted to do. So I went to my advisor and I said, what could I do and still graduate on time using the classes that I've taken and not be in communications? And she said, well, you could be a high school English teacher. And I said, okay, let's do it. It fits what I know anyway. And so I did all of my education courses to kind of catch up with that. And they were right. Like, I've been able to coach and teach and do all the things that I loved with just a slight change of major.
All right. Awesome. So full disclosure, and for all of you listeners out there who are thinking about job transition, we actually had some good friends who were highly engaged in that summer camp and were able to check out the Smileys before they arrived in so many different ways, and they gave you all a ringing endorsement as well. But always good to remember to be nice to everyone
right.
when you have those opportunities. When you transitioned to Darlington, anything that you remember specifically about the first year and the transition when you got here?
Well, you know, it was interesting. We have 3 children, and so the first year we were here, our youngest was a baby, and so she had just turned 2, and our older 2 were in middle school. One was in 6th, and one was in 8th, and so the transition of you know, the residential side of life, as well as the academic side, as well as the parent side. And, you know, I was talking earlier with Maddie Chastain that trying to figure out what to do with your kids when they live on campus, but they're not boarding kids, they're day kids, but are they really day kids? You know, that was an interesting transition at first, trying to figure out where everybody fit in. But they loved it. We loved the convenience of always being a part of everything that was going on as well.
Awesome. So how long have you been the department chair?
This is my 2nd year.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about how you found yourself in that role.
So we did a little bit of a strategic change with how we were running our department chairs at school. In the past, the department chairs sort of had only focused on the high school departments and not really gone down. Even though middle school is part of secondary, we weren't really doing a lot with the middle school. So we made a decision to change what the department chair like job description was, that they were going to be 6 through 12 and they're really going to be doing a lot of coaching and really working with the teachers in their department, really planning vertically, starting with like what is the portrait of a graduate for Darlington and like how do we break that down all the way to the beginning of secondary education in sixth grade. So when we had an opportunity to change what the department chair was going to look like, it was really going to involve some different things than the department chairs had done before, and our previous department chair had been doing a really great job but wasn't really as excited maybe about the new stuff with the middle school and just the coaching teachers part of it. And so the opportunity came up for me to apply for that, and that was something that I really did feel passionately about and was really excited to be able to work with all the grade levels so that we could really just build a strong department from 6th grade through 12th.
Good. And so a little bit, so you've been in the role, it's a new role, and you sort of new into the role. So what's going on in the English department? Tell us about the English department. Obviously, we're talking about 6th through 12th grade, maybe a little bit about how folks work together, the skills you're hoping and how you that our students gain and maybe how you guys are going about that.
So we really focus on a skills-based curriculum here at Darlington, and so that has been a change for the English department. You know, people talk, when you hear alumni talk, they talk about the theme papers they used to have to write every Friday in the English department and really focusing on the content. Like when you're reading this book, this is the subject you were talking about. And we really have shifted to more of a skills-based idea. So instead of focusing on that content, we're focusing on what skill are we teaching and what does that look like when you have a sixth grader and how does that change when they're in the ninth grade and then how does that change again when they're 11th grade. When they introduce the skill, when we practice the skill, when we master the skill. And we have really built a really great department of people that are in the areas where they really are strong, and we seem to be thriving there. If we start with our middle school, we have two middle school English teachers, Misty Bowling, who teaches all of our sixth grade and half of our seventh grade, who has a long background of upper elementary experience and early middle school experience. And so those first skills that you learn as a secondary English student, she just really hones those skills. And we're really fortunate, our half seventh grade, end of eighth grade teacher, Keegan Hensley, is new this year. And he came from the University of Alabama, just had finished his master's and had taught freshman comp for a year while he was working on his master's. And he's brought just a great deal of energy and excitement about writing and about the structure of English. And it's so nice to go in his classroom. His kids write every single day. And sometimes they don't even realize that what they're doing is a skill with their writing because they're having so much fun making lists and turning those lists into small pieces of writing, which then turn into large pieces of writing. And he's just been a really great addition to the middle school. And then when we get to the high school, we have two really energetic ninth grade English teachers. Mallory Collier is here for the second year, and she is teaching our honors ninth grade students. And Bettina Fuentes is new this year, but has taught for over 20 years. And she has our college prep ninth graders. And they've really done a ton of planning together. Mallory and I reworked the sort of the curriculum, but more the content connected to the skills with 9th and 10th grade last spring. And she and Bettina have really done a great job planning with the 9th graders to make sure that the whole E1, whether you're in college prep or honors, they're really focusing on these skills and really going to be at a great point to move up into E2. And so they've done some really cool things with AI in the classroom. And Mallory has sort of taken the lead in our department in technology and great ways to use resources and not be scared of resources. And so we have really appreciated having both of those kind of additions to our department. And also both of them teach a little bit of 10th grade college prep as well. Sam Clark is our honors 10th grade teacher. He has been here 7 years and taught a little bit of several things in the English department. And this is his second year in honors, and has really done a good job with the content of the honors 10th grade class. He is just finishing his master's work and has done some really cool things with part of the Bread Loaf program at Middlebury College. And last summer, he was able to spend the summer in England doing kind of a page to sage kind of work with some of the Shakespeare stuff, and he's brought that back to his classroom. And I've seen some of his work with Macbeth. There have been kids all over the English hall working on their scenes and really getting a kick out of that. So that's been fun to see. John Cox does have one class of 10th grade. He's mostly focusing on our E4 students this year. He has four classes of seniors, which makes them really happy. He taught freshmen, college freshmen for several years before moving to teach high school. And so he really does a good job with the seniors of getting them where they need to be to go straight to college from our school. Sam also teaches some of our juniors, just our college prep juniors. Jennifer Kelly teaches some of our college prep juniors. I have our AP Lang, that's our language and composition courses for juniors. And then Jennifer Kelly finishes up with our AP Lit. And she's done something the past two summers. She spent the summer being an AP reader for the AP Lit exam. And that's been really cool because she sort of reworked her AP Lit course based on what she was seeing from not only the experience that she got with the scoring people's essays and seeing what was getting a good score, but the teachers that she works with and gets their feedback. She's been able to do some pretty interesting things with our AP Lit class, and we'll be happy to see kind of what that looks like when it comes testing time. And then our last person in our department, Jennifer Lutweiler, is primarily a learning specialist, but she does have one class of English 3 college prep that she teaches, and she's done a wonderful job too. She spent the summer two summers ago taking an AP Lit course just to kind of really hone in her skills with literary analysis, and has become kind of the master at that. She has just great lessons. She's very excited to find professional development and really make her course better all the time. And so we just have a lot of good cross the department planning that happens, and everybody is sharing with each other and going in each other's rooms, and it's just been a really positive experience.
Great. Maybe a little bit more, just broaden out a little bit on sort of not really curriculum per se, but a little bit about teaching philosophy, and maybe this question that's an interesting one, and you touched on it in a couple of different ways, both, you know, sort of mentioning one of the works of the canon and something like Macbeth, but then also talking about AI and artificial intelligence and positive utilization of technology. And obviously one of the things that Darlington prides itself on is having a program that's relevant for its students and their future. So maybe tell us a little bit about how is the English classroom, the English academic experience perhaps different than maybe it was even for you and I, or for some of our other listeners who went to school more than, you know, a few years ago.
Right. Well, we never want to take away from the importance of the canon and being familiar with the classics. You know, that's something that most all of them will need to have some exposure with once they get to college. But at the same time, as I said, we're a skills-based curriculum, and it's our goal to pick the choices that are going to help our students be most successful mastering the skills that they need to be good writers and analytical thinkers. And so what we try to do as far as like choice of works is to find something that's contemporary that maybe matches something that's classic, and doing a little bit of both. I was sitting in on an E1 honors class last week, and they had read Taming of the Shrew. That was their Shakespeare that they had chosen this year. But she really wanted them to do some interesting projects with that. And so they were watching a movie that I think is a modern movie that they pointed out to me was 30 years old also, but the movie 10 Things I Hate About You was based on...
It's a classic.
I know. Apparently it's a classic. I did not realize that. But then they also had the classic Taming of the Shrew with Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor, and they had watched not the either movie in its entirety, but they had read the play and they had watched a little bit of the modern movie, a little bit of the classic movie, and were writing some really great things about that. But even with that, Ms. Collier had had them do a little work with AI to help them get started, you know, with their papers. And so one of the things that we're always trying to do is we want to pick things that are relevant and to pick things that they will be engaged with. Because in English, we want them to be good writers, but if they're not interested in what they're doing, they have a hard time getting connected with that. My AP Lang students are finishing their research papers right now. They're due right before spring break. And they do an argumentative paper because that's connected to AP Lang, but they pick a controversial issue. And instead of assigning something, we spend, you know, a whole week, what are things that you're interested in finding out about? I mean, it's a long paper. It's a 6 to 8 page paper, and it's not much fun writing about something that you're not interested in. And so we spend a long time about, like, what is research? How do you do good research? Research is something you're gonna need for the rest of your life and definitely your next 4+ years in college. So how do you do that? What does that process look like? So I have found, at least over the past couple years, when their topics are something that they've chosen that they care a lot about, they do a really good job. And this year, seniors came back and told me that several of them have used all of or pieces of their research paper from last year to apply for scholarships for colleges or in those supplemental essays that they have to do at schools because they chose something that might be part of the major that they want or a field that they're interested in. So I think that while yes, we still want them to know who Shakespeare is, and in American literature, we want them to know who Fitzgerald is. We're trying really hard to show them that there are other authors and there are other forms of literature that they can look at and be connected to so that they can be good writers themselves and that they can analyze the work themselves and that it's important. What we always tell them, especially with their writing, they're always looking for evidence and they're always looking for support. And you know, the kids right now really want to do well. They want to have a good grade. And they want you to look at your paper and say, yes, that's right, or tell them what's wrong with it. And so we're really trying to establish this culture that they'll take some chances and they'll take a risk and they'll write it and they'll say, is this what you're looking for? And I'll say, well, does it support what you're trying to prove? Well, yes, but is that what you're looking for? Well, if it supports what you're trying to argue, then it's what I'm looking for. And so giving them a little confidence that they know what they're talking about and they're good writers and we're gonna consistently do it till they're confident in all of it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Anything else about the English program that you'd like our listeners to know about or hear about?
Well, you know, we don't have like a bunch of big school-wide projects, you know, that we do, but I do know that a lot of alumni and people that are very, very interested in what's going on around here are listening to our podcast. So I would just say the takeaway about the English department is we want our kids to be good writers. And so that's what we're focusing on. From the 6th grade through the 12th grade, we are starting off small with, let's make sure we can write good paragraphs. And now let's turn those paragraphs into multiple paragraphs. And, you know, we talk about trying to keep them away from the 5-paragraph essay. But, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. And with my juniors, even with this paper, they'll say, well, how many body paragraphs do I have? Is this like a 5-paragraph essay? Is this a 6-paragraph essay? So we're really trying to give them the structure of writing, but the confidence to take some chances and have multiple drafts and really have some good work when they're finished. So our goal is to have them leave Darlington with an exposure to a variety of literature and nonfiction, but be able to write about it and talk about it in an intelligent way.
That sounds great. That sounds great. And some of our listeners will be pleased to know that that includes like writing an email.
Exactly.
As one of those skills from time to time. And you know, capitalization, punctuation, all of the basic fundamentals that go into being a good writer. And, you know, I think one of the things that's interesting to me that I hear from alums and those out in the workforce is that ability to write ends up being what can really determine your path and not just choosing a job, but your ability to raise your profile at your job, whether you're an engineer or a journalist, right? Whether you're a mathematician or something else. And so I think the different styles of writing is one of the things that I really appreciate about the program as well, thinking about, well, you've got an hour to start from nothing and produce something that's going to persuade someone to do something. That skill is really important as well. Let's finish up with a few sort of quick hitter questions, if you will. So sort of just tell us all the things that you do here. What classes do you teach, sports you coach, other things you're involved in at Darlington?
Okay, so teaching-wise, right now I teach the AP Language and Composition course, and I have a 10th grade advisory. I'm the head cheerleading coach for football, basketball, and competition. And I do residential duty in Neville House. I live in Cooper House, but I do duty in Neville. And I'm currently directing the lower school musical. We have a 3rd grade through 8th grade musical. We're doing The Lion King at the end of April, and I've heard tickets are going to be hard to get, so everybody better be getting on board with that. So right now, you know, I do a little bit of everything, I think.
That sounds like it. That covers all of the bases. So you answer the next question. So you are a part of Neville House.
Yes.
All right. Strong day leadership in Neville, for sure.
I will say, we, you know, not that you and I are partial to Neville, but, you know, there are some senior day leaders and sophomore day leaders that are great. No, I love Neville House. I actually was in Cooper House for my first few years here, and then in COVID, when we used Cooper for our health center so that we could isolate students when we needed to, I moved over to Neville, and then when we brought Cooper back, I stayed in Neville. Not that I didn't love the girls, but I just really had a great time with the boys, and they need a mom. You know, I have Sunday night duty, and that's when we do major dorm, and so most of my duty includes, why does your room smell like feet? How long has this been in the garbage can, you know? So we take out all the trash on Sunday, and we clean everybody's rooms and clean the hallway. And so I think it's something we try to have at least one female residential duty staff member for each of the boys' houses. And I think that they appreciate having a mom in there to kind of look after them. And since I'm a mom to one of their friends, you know, I guess I'm kind of the same age as their moms, and I try to feed them fairly regularly and, you know, just bring the little snacks and things that they need. But I love the Neville boys. I love all of our kids, but I do have soft space for all the Neville boys.
We were coming up on spring break, but obviously one of the big events of the winter is Rumpus. What is your favorite Rumpus event?
Well, I'm in charge of trivia. So I will
always
say... Does
that make it your favorite or least favorite?
So I get it. Well, you're right. It's my favorite... but it's the most stressful to me. I also love the lip sync event. We have a strong showing in lip sync every year for Neville, and we had a particularly good lip sync this year. And I love all of Rumpus and always volunteer for all the things, but trivia and lip sync are my favorite. We were really excited this year for lip sync. The boys' houses usually have a handful of boys that are really involved. We had over 40 boys in our lip sync this year for Neville, which was just unheard of, and it was just so fun. We had a million freshmen all the way up to a great group of seniors, and I think Ms. Chastain and I were talking before the podcast, we have a really fantastic group of seniors this year, just across the board, girls and boys, day and dorm, and but our leaders, in particular, our dorm leaders in Rumpus, just made it. It was one of maybe even the best Rumpus we've had the whole time that I've been at Darlington. Just very positive. And yes, it's competitive, but everybody's supporting everybody and cheering each other on. It was just a really good Rumpus, I thought, this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, one last question. What's your favorite place on campus?
My favorite place on campus is the new library. And I love the student center, and I love the energy in the student center, but Ms. Brock and Ms. West have just done a great job with making the library like a little sanctuary. Recently, my classes were in the classroom part because Ms. West was doing a research lesson with them, and I got to spend those class periods kind of walking around, and just it's really interesting to see the dynamics. The students that are in the library during the school day are in there to study, But they're not silent, you know, they're studying mm-hmm. with their friends quietly, but there's just so much good work happening in there, and it's beautiful, and just everything about it, I love being in the library.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a great space, and they did a great job with that. Well, Melissa, thank you very much for your time, and it's been great sharing about your great work and the work of the English department. And I appreciate everything that you do here on campus. As our listeners have heard, you're fully engaged in the life of the school, and really that's the way it should be in a boarding community like ours, and that's what really makes Darlington the special place it is. And so I say thank you for all that. Absolutely. On behalf of the entire community. You make Darlington a better place, and we're grateful for that, so thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you all for joining us today. We appreciate you engaging with the Darlington Podcast. We're glad that you tune in to this episode of the Darlington Podcast. Tune in each week wherever you like to listen to podcasts, and please subscribe if you haven't already. You can check out today's show notes at darlingtonschool.org/podcast. And if you ever have questions or thoughts or ideas about a future episode, send us an email to communications@darlingtonschool.org.
The Darlington Podcast, a production of Darlington School in Rome, Georgia, is a collaboration between the communication and advancement teams, and the intro music is alumni produced. See show notes and hear more episodes at www.darlingtonschool.org/podcast.